Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 125 of the Functioning Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my co-patriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hey, man, what's up? How you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm good.
Glad to hear it, you know?
Yeah, you still quarantined over there? Are you still, like, locked down up there in Jackson?
What you talking about, man? We're living our life, our best life. What quarantine?
Okay, then.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good in the hood. Yeah, it's anything new, anything different going on really there for you?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the usual stuff, you know. A lot of deer came by in the morning and ate many of our tulips and were grumpy about it. That was rude, inconsiderate of them, those deer, doggone it. There's a huge field of tulips just across the street in the park that they could eat, but they had to munch ours.
Wow.
Yeah, been writing lots of new songs for the band. We're in a songwriting challenge.
I look forward to that. I look forward to hearing that and seeing you guys play this summer.
It could happen. It's conceivable. It might happen. Like, that's possible. I don't know. I'm trying to persuade my bandmates to see if, like, we could do a live stream show. Ooh. From one of our homes. I think that would be really fun. And
that'd be awesome.
Lots of great artists are doing that right now, and it's really cool. And not like we're anything special, but, you know, we have a lot of friends who like to come to our shows, and we've written a ton of new songs as a part of this challenge.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands, every Saturday lately, he's been doing a live stream from his living room, Jim Infantino from Jim's Big Ego. He's up in Boston.
Oh.
I'm a huge fan. I mean, I'm such a fan of his. Like, actually, he wrote a book. He's a writer. He's like Renaissance, and he's awesome. I wonder if he could be on the show. I mean, I don't know if he would match. Does he know anything? I don't think he knows anything about WordPress. Actually, he doesn't know anything about WordPress because his websites are really old and whatever, PHP based. But he's just a cool guy.
Right.
I might reach out to him. Right.
Yeah, we deal with we talk about a lot of non-WordPress stuff on this show. In fact, is there anything WordPress related on this show today?
Yeah, in the news coming up.
In the news.
And but right now, your songs have, you know, relevance to WordPress. Sometimes.
Sadly, I don't have a new song today. Oh. I'm a little disappointed in myself. All these new songs I've been writing, none of them have been for this show. But I don't know. I'm just putting all my creative energy into the band right now.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
It's fun. How about you? What's new?
Well, I had a doctor's appointment last week. Not sick, just FYI, listeners. I haven't had a physical like in 3 or 4 years. Have insurance, might as well get it done. And, you know, why not now? Why not wear a mask during the whole physical? No. So yeah. I found a new doctor based on recommendation.
And this was in person?
Yeah. Not telemed. Cool. Yeah. But you have to wear a mask to take your temperature before you go in, all that stuff. So I'm fine. But I mean, that part was fine. So I met the doctor. They drew some blood the next day, had a fast. Yeah, I got results back, but, you know, I'm no doctor. I can read part of them, but I'm not surprised with some of the results, and I'll share more later. I need to really talk to the doctor. Here's what's going to happen.
Give it to me straight, doc. Yeah. Give it to me straight.
There's going to be an adjustment in diet. I'm going to have to make some diet changes because I have a sweet tooth, and I haven't been exercising nearly as much or as hard as prior to this. So
that's right.
I put on a few pounds. You know, but it's so funny. So, like, you know, you look at the weight and height and the BMI. The BMI is just a fallacy of a way to indicate health or weight based on weight. Because, and I was talking to Dustin about this. So like, right now I'm like 212, 6'4", and I'm technically overweight. But you look at, like, one of these guys in CrossFit. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. But he's, like, the fittest man on earth. He's 5'7", 195, and he's considered obese. If he's obese,
oh my gosh,
then I'm great. You know, I'm like, come on now. Because he's at 30.5, whatever. I'm like, so I'm like 4 pounds away from being, quote, normal for, you know, BMI. Wow. I'm not going to worry about the BMI ever again. But I will worry about is my overall sugar intake and some cholesterol. I have to just probably, for me, again, but as I get older, I have to take these things into consideration. And the reason I went in also and spoke to the doctor was I had that chest pain from when Ellen was sick. And the stress, I just make sure that wasn't, like, blocked and having a heart attack, you know, so.
Yeah. I think that probably the scale is softened a little bit to account for the dad bod factor. I should hope so.
My goal is to not have that dad bod. My birthday is in 6 months, a little over 6 months.
You can't escape it, man.
I'm gonna be yoked, as the kids say.
yoked
and jacked.
Oh man,
I'm leaning out and muscling up.
Good luck with that. Thank you. Anybody can do it,
it's Dustin.
Yeah. No. It probably is.
Dustin's pretty he's been added some muscle. He has a whole home gym now. He's my height, our height.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Strong guy
and so self-disciplined. Ah,
yeah,
it's just not right.
Hate him. It's okay.
I know.
Oh, and some feedback real quick from him. He laughed out loud on quite a few of our bomb.coms, which is pretty good.
Oh, nice.
And I have a few more. I actually talked to Scott DeLuzio after we recorded that episode, and we talked again last week. I have like 4 or 5 more already. One of them is actually good enough to use for a band name.
Oh, nice.
I'll tell you offline, because I might have to grab it, but yeah, because I'm going to start a band.
Let's get Dustin back on real soon. Yeah. He'll play it with us.
Okay, that'd be fun. Okay. Yeah. All right. Other than that, you know, just working. I've launched some new sites and for clients, and I have like 4 new leads for this next week, which is awesome.
Dang, man.
Yeah, keep them busy.
Yeah, close those deals.
Closing them. Make
it rain.
Make it rain. Yeah. The visual is like the dollar bills or 100 bills going off my hand. Yeah, okay. Make it rain. Yeah, yeah. So, all right.
Good job.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right, so this is in the news here. I put this in. A company by the name of Frontity. It's hard to say without saying it, without being like 9 years old. Frontity. They raised a million euros, from Automatic and from another, like, was it a, I think it's called K, Automatic and K Fund. So announcing a 1 million euro funding round.
Cool.
Yeah. Have you heard of them? And do you know what they do?
Yeah. You know, they came across my radar like, maybe it was a year ago or two. And I don't remember what it was. So maybe they made something cool, but
they are a React framework for WordPress.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
It is really cool.
It's cool if you're into that.
They deserve some funding.
Okay. Good. Good. Well, good for them. Yeah. And apparently that funding is going to let them have making WordPress easier with React. They created it around that easier to build faster, scalable sites using that technology, that platform.
Right. Yeah. So, that's pretty fun and exciting. A million euros. WordPress getting easier. Whoa.
Yeah, 1 million euros. I mean, I'm gonna reach out to Automatic and KFund to see if I can get some funding.
I bet you can. They're just sitting on like a mountain of money right now.
I'm sure. And Matt and I are like this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe further apart than that. I don't know. Yeah, but other than that, it's kind of a light news season because, you know, there's no camps. There's like not a whole lot of transactions going on from that perspective, you know.
Right.
Does that bother you?
What?
Does that bother you?
Does it bother me that there's not much happening?
Yeah, like we haven't had that, you know, that thing, you know, that's because of where we're at, the conferences, that season doesn't exist at the moment.
If I think about it, a part of me will feel a little teeny bit sad because this year I definitely was looking forward to a lot. Like there were a bunch of things I missed last year.
Right.
Last year I missed like WordCamp Kent and I think Grand Rapids maybe or something, a bunch of others. And I was looking forward to those and Detroit and Dayton and our local ones and whatever else. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
But
so, without those, there's like, you don't have that, you know, there's that, it's missing that element, which then in turn leads to more news type things as well.
Yeah. Plus all these just like Jackson events here in my hometown that I always look forward to in the summer.
Right.
You know, we have like beer festivals and historic festivals and fairs and all these things that are a lot of fun that I look forward to every year.
Right. I just realized you said the beer festival. I just realized I bought 2 bottles of that. That 11% that I had a couple weeks back.
Dragon's milk.
That's probably not going to be in the. I probably should drink that faster before I go see the doctor.
Yeah.
Some ribs in the beer. Quick, get that down. All right, I digress. Anyway, all right. Well, hopefully we get some more news in the next week or two. We'll see.
We'll see.
What you wearing? What you're wearing? What you're drinking now? What you're wearing? What you're reading? What you're drinking now?
All right, so out of respect, because like we just said, you missed certain WordCamps. I'm wearing WordCamp Ann Arbor, but I don't know what year this is from because I didn't go to this year. Was this last year? The year before?
It's really the light. Oh, that's 17?
Okay,
yeah. I think it's 17.
Yeah, I think I missed that year. So, but you gave me a shirt when I came to visit. So
really?
I think so. Well, maybe I was there. No, I don't know. Kidding. So,
no, you were there. Was I? You were there because 17 is...
Is that the year I surprised you? Or was it before three years ago?
I don't know. Is that the year we did the battle?
Oh, no, I think it's the year I surprised you because I had just moved here and I had to go back to LA.
We did the battle in 16.
Right, and I had to go back to, I came up to then go back to LA to get my car and drive back again. Yeah, okay, so I was there. Yay, okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah, so I'm wearing WordCamp Ann Arbor 2017. I'm drinking coffee in a lovely, beautiful, iconographic Sandhills mug, all the companies from Sandhills Development. And yay. I'm still reading, you know, and it sounds crazy, like I'm taking so long to read this, but Good to Great. By Jim Collins. And I got to tell you, it has become a really good book all of a sudden. Like, it was just really weird and slow for me to get into. And now I'm just like, I only have like maybe a quarter of the book left. I'll be done by next week for sure. I've taken some pictures, I've taken some notes. I'm really like, wow, this is how to make a company great. These things, these tangible things. They're not like steps, but just a mindset shift for me. And I'm looking at maybe making I might want to take concierge to the greatness levels. I don't know. maybe, you know, but it's a study of the CEOs and the companies and how they did over a time frame. Okay. But it's pretty cool. Good book. I'm really, really enjoying it. All of a sudden, I wasn't thinking I was going to. I was thinking I might just toss this, but this has been, it's been working out. So,
wow.
What do you got?
That's cool. I'm currently wearing some Workfront socks, an Empowered by WordPress hoodie, a North Stack hat.
Wow.
Finished a mug of coffee, and I'm reading The Wastelands by Stephen King.
Okay, right on. Cool.
There you go.
Okay. Sounds good. Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Crap. I lost track of everything today, and I think it's time for me to finish the chicken coop before it rains.
It could be that, but it's also... That's right. It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Options. That's awesome. I like the cable nose ring. That was nice. Nice visual. Wish this was alive. I'm going to put this show next month, that we will do an OBS streaming to Twitch episode. Would you be okay with that?
Sure.
I'll let people know we're going to record on this day. They can watch it live.
I guess so.
And we maybe take some. Ooh. Oh, we'll try that.
People do that?
They do. I'm going to promote that. I'm going to do it, and we're going to make that happen. Okay. You have to have a song ready.
We tend to record early in the morning.
So?
I don't know. Okay. If someone tunes in, I'll just be impressed.
But maybe we'll actually record like on a Friday afternoon, so we can have cocktails with people, too.
Oh, there's an idea. Right, there actually.
That's the better idea.
That might be kind of fun. Yeah, right. Maybe we could just like invite people to join us like randomly.
Possibly. We'll see if I can make that happen.
It could just turn into total chaos.
Total chaos.
Like every other episode.
Right. All right. So you want to ask that first question?
First question comes to us from a mysterious person that we don't know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know who asked this question.
It's okay.
But someone sent us this question, and their query was, how do you make employees happy?
Okay. Don't know. So how do you make employees happy? All right. So I'll start off. Now you may think I'm going to go with the obvious answer here and say like send a silly meme or share a dad joke on Slack or Asana or even the late night text message due to some kind of emergency and then say, just kidding.
Classic.
But no, I make my peeps happy by bribing them. That's right. You may have heard that bribes are illegal, but I don't see it that way. Right? I send them money, usually monthly. Surprisingly, that keeps them happy. Call me crazy, but the system works. They get money. They seem happy. And of course, my clients are happy because they get work done. So I keep my people happy by giving them money.
Oh.
That's an option.
Yeah. It's all just like in how you frame it. Right.
I mean, yeah. I call it bribes. People might call it payment. Some people may call it under the table. I just want to be upfront with people. Hey, I'm bribing you to do these things in exchange for some of this money. So, I just wanted to be really upfront and honest with my approach to keeping my, I say air quotes, my contractors happy. I pay them.
All right. Well, keeping them happy is important.
Right. Okay.
What's more important than your employees? They're everything, right? Well, aren't they?
No. Okay.
Well.
Well, the thing about employees is there's the one thing they all want is just less work. So I recommend, in the interest of making employees happy, do as much of their work for them as you can.
Wow.
Really, nothing will make your employees more delighted than you giving them work to do and then telling them, never mind, I'll do it myself.
Strong choice. Strong option.
They will absolutely love you. There you go. All you need to know.
That is that's a strong option. So doing their work for them, but still paying them. So it goes right back around. You still have to give them money.
Totally. Totally. Say, here's all the work you got to get done. Never mind. I'll just do it myself. Right. I'll do it myself.
Right. Taken care of. And then, but here is a payment in air quotes.
Yeah.
Here's an envelope full of cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope you're happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's an option. I like it. What else you got?
I think maybe empower them. I'm a big fan of empowerment for employees. And I guess I think about this a lot.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a thing that I think about more lately because now it's currently my job to just think about this basically all day. All the time. I'm just thinking, how can I make everybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
Which really suits my personality. That's what I naturally think about all the time.
Well, yeah. I think it comes back to an overall, I think many people in our space, but also like as developers, I mean, maybe not developers, but like in the maintenance side of things, from my perspective, or in consultants, we want to make happy clients. You also want people around you to be happy, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
True.
But the problem is there's a balance. You can't, it's not my job to make them happy, but I can
lead them. It's my job.
But I can, yeah. But I can lead them to an option of or choice of being happy, right? I mean, it's a little meta. I don't know. All right, so your job is to make. So you are. I mean,
my job
But your job is not. Your title is not happiness operations manager, director,
no.
Director of ops. You're
no.
Okay.
No.
Do you actually have a happiness title inside of Sandhills?
No.
Well, you should.
That would be so juvenile. Like, what kind of a company would do something like that?
Oh, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Finish him.
KO. no, I think about
making
people happy all the time.
Yeah,
and I always do because that's my personality.
Right.
And I really think that that's why I've always enjoyed like organizing conferences.
Right.
That is so much fun to me because when I'm there and I'm looking around and I'm seeing people like enjoying themselves, like, oh, I get a rush. That feeling is so rewarding to me. And now it's my profession. It's just every day think like, how can I make everyone here more fulfilled and satisfied with their work and productive and committed to sticking around long term and just like finding joy in their work and their life and all that stuff. I think about that daily.
Right. I remember reading a quote by some famous CEO. He said his job was not to turn a profit for the company. No, that's not right. That's the wrong quote. His job was...
I remember this quote.
I've told you before. Yeah, his most important task was he realized his assets were not the money coming in. His assets were the employees walking out at the end of the day, and his goal was to make them come back tomorrow.
Right.
Right.
Powerful.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Still powerful.
Love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it. Anyway, there are a lot of different things. I could talk about this easily all day because there are so many different things that go into the happiness of every employee. We've talked not too long ago about some related things and the fact that each employee is unique and different and every employee has different needs and interests and what satisfies and fulfills one employee might be the worst thing for another employee. So these are the realities that we deal with. That said, there are some things that we can bring up which are like, I don't know, common, like the greatest hits, I guess, of the methods for improving employee morale and happiness. Empowerment is one that I go back to a lot.
Smart. But it's let me ask you real quick. Let me poke the bear, if I may.
Hey, boo boo, Mr. Rangers, you be upset?
Okay. So you say empowerment, but what if people don't want to have that responsibility to be empowered? What if they are looking to be micromanaged? I mean, some people don't want to take that on. You know what I mean? They don't. They'd rather just say do this. They don't. You know what I mean? There's a fine line.
Yeah, there are different degrees.
Okay.
I think of empowerment, and it's important to acknowledge that some employees are looking for a lot more empowerment than others. But all employees value it to some degree. Okay. And even if it's really little things, even the employee who is least interested in having authority of any kind, the employee who wants to be managed down to the finest detail, even they value being able to do some things their way or have some discretion. They value being able to just like communicate in their using their own style.
Right.
They want to be able to phrase things as they naturally would, or maybe they want to be able to like use the technology to get the job done that they're comfortable with, or certain software that they're just, they enjoy using, or they desire to maybe choose the most appropriate time for them to get work done, or choose what to wear while they're doing it, or Whoa. Choose, make some choices about the prioritization of some of their tasks or what they're going to do when based on how they feel. Like, I'm in the zone right now, I'm going to choose to focus on this. Or I'm feeling distracted and frustrated right now, so I'm going to do this like other more menial task.
Right.
Like having the ability to exercise some degree of discretion and having that be respected and permitted and even encouraged by management, I think is really useful, even for those employees who need to or want to be managed much more.
It makes total sense. It really does.
Yeah, it's a scale. It's a scale.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think maybe is underappreciated and that I've been learning more about: people want to feel good about their work.
Mm. Mm.
This is really helpful. And this is a little harder to put your finger on, and a little more, you might say it's a little more challenging to directly, immediately impact as leadership or management in a company. But your employees are going to be more happy if they have this feeling like they're making a difference and like their work is good and like they're really contributing. Because it's a really bad feeling for employees to put in effort and feel like, you know, it didn't do anything. It wasn't very good. My work isn't as good as the work of my colleagues, or it's great work, but it's not, appreciated, or maybe like I'm not using my skills very much. So it's really important for employees to like finish their work days with this feeling as though they've accomplished things, and being able to look back and take a little bit of pride in what they've done. That is really important for people to like continue what they're doing. Like I think it's one of the best ways to prevent burnout and turnover of employees. Just make sure they are able to take pride in their work and feel really good about it. Now, how can you affect this? Some of the ways are really simple and direct. You can provide meaningful feedback. You can go out of your way to praise people for their good work and offer more than just pats on the back, but just be specific. Like, you are acknowledge things that they are particularly good at. Like, you really are a master at like dealing with customers who get irate, or you really are. I really appreciate like how quick you are to respond to people. I really appreciate, you know, the talent you have in this certain area. You're like really quick to prototype great designs or whatever it is. Like, you have something special and I notice and I appreciate that. That's meaningful. So this is like kind of step one. It's a little obvious, but it is very impactful. And praise for just the sake of praise, or like empty praise, just like you're doing a great job, it's like not that helpful.
It's like Hancock, good job.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
I barely remember it. I saw it when it was new in theaters, man. Wow. That's like half my life ago, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. But more than that, I think also being very careful about what you ask people to do and where you put them in a company. Mm-hmm. Because lots of people are good team players. You know, they're willing to do what needs to be done at the company. There's so much to do, especially with a small business, as everyone's wearing multiple hats. Everyone's all over the place, like helping out with this, helping out with that. You know, it's not what they signed up for, but they're not complaining. There's a lot of that we'll see. And there's a lot of things, you know, like you outsource some work to a contractor, and it's a project, and it's a small team. So some people are going to be doing just like so many parts of the project. Even though they might say, you know, like I'm a back-end developer, but you're handing them a full website and say, develop this. And they're like, they're having to input content and do some front-end work and some back-end work and configure things and all this kinds of stuff that isn't like their primary preferred function.
Right, right.
You can impact the satisfaction that they will have and their ability to take pride in their work if you are very careful about where you put them and what you ask them to do. So make sure you're utilizing their best talents, give them realistic challenges, apply them in the best possible way.
You sound like you read Good to Great and you're on your way to becoming a great CEO.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe it's not uncommon business advice. I've read other books.
Yeah. Wait, you read other books?
Yeah.
Not just Stephen King?
Yeah. Right. Huh. Lots of books. Lots of sci-fi and
oh, fantasy. But only the best books. You love books. Yeah. The greatest books.
Yeah. Allow people to have that sense of self, that sense of satisfaction.
Yeah.
By putting them where they're going to be most effective. Other things that if you're wondering like how to make them happy, I don't know, it's like this kind of approach, but it can make it simpler to just think of the things that make people unhappy. Mm-hmm. And do the opposite. Like unrealistic expectations, right, make employees unhappy. That will burn them.
6 a.m. or 6 p.m. you know, meetings on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon.
Totally.
Right.
Totally. Few things are more likely to result in employees feeling disenchanted than them feeling as though their voice is not heard. Like they can't affect the business. Mm. They can't make a difference around here. If they speak up, it goes nowhere. That feeling is subtle, but extremely powerful, and will definitely push employees to feel disengaged with the company, disconnect them from the goals and the big picture, make them feel unmotivated, and eventually drive them away.
So let me ask you this real quick. Let me ask you, on that topic about communication and knowing how they're feeling, does Sandhills have a process in place to receive feedback, either from with a name attached or even anonymously? Because some people, you say, you know, we hear about these things. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I'm trying to just be devil's advocate, but do you, or, you know, I mean, I don't know if other companies do. I think Automatic does. Actually, I know they do because Matt has, you know, the town halls, you know, we've heard about, and people can ask, and he's mentioned on his podcast, anybody can ask anything, right?
Yeah.
So do you mm-hmm. guys have that? Have you put that in a place to receive feedback?
No. Matt never told me I could ask anything. I don't know.
Which Matt are you thinking of?
Yeah.
Cromwell?
Yeah. LeBlanc?
LeBlanc?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, does Sandhills have a process like that?
I am...
Because saying what you're saying makes total sense. But
yes.
Unless you have something in place, because some people, even though you may have an open door policy, people are still people. People don't want to be judged based on the question. They don't want to cause a red flag based on how it comes in. So maybe you need to have an anonymous form that could be submitted that you can still track by IP address, but whatever.
Right. Right. A couple things.
Okay.
Because you're putting me on the spot, and this is great. This is I'm not happy that you asked me this question for one reason, but I'm also happy you asked me too, because it is important. So the short answer to your question is not really. But the long answer is like this actually is extremely important to me, and on my board of like big important things to fix. Because I haven't been in this role for very long.
Right, right.
Everything that I'm adding is stuff that the company didn't have before. Mm-hmm. No one did this before.
Right.
So we've never had feedback loops. We've never had a process for that. And it's been one of my bigger goals to implement something where people are able to get the feedback that they need mm-hmm. to continue to grow and improve and so on. So I don't have something yet.
That's fine.
But I think about it all the time, and I've been learning a lot about it. And one of the reasons that I don't have anything is because it's kind of hard if you want to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want it to be good. I'm working on developing something that I think will be really effective for us and really helpful. And I've learned a lot about how feedback just for the sake of feedback is not that helpful. It very easily and quickly can become noise and can even become counterproductive. If I were to just quickly roll out something like, oh, here's a feedback app that's going to ping you now and then and ask you for questions that are anonymous or not anonymous, or going to dump some stuff in a spreadsheet and review it with so-and-so now and then. If I kind of like quickly threw something together like that, I'm not convinced that it'll actually fix a lot of the problems that we have. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually truly concerned that it could create some problems that I don't want to deal with. So what you want is good feedback. And you want it in,
well, of course.
You want it in all directions,
right?
I'm not gonna just start implementing a corporate style like annual performance review with a check sheet that managers are mandated to run through with all of their subordinates. I'm not particularly interested in that, and I don't think anybody would enjoy it, and I don't think that they're often that helpful. I want feedback in other directions too. I want like managers to be receiving feedback. We have a lot of people managing for the first time in their careers. I want leaders in the company to have feedback on how they're doing, because their impact is so much greater than their subordinates.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah. Feedback is really important. I think about it all the time. No. I'm working on it.
Okay. Good. That's all I got to say. You're like, dang it, Adam.
I know. Yeah.
That's my job here is to, it's a little bit of that. Because you're in it day to day, like you said, that you think about this stuff all the time. I don't. I could care less at the end of the day how my contractors are. Just get the damn job done. I'm paying you people. I'm kidding. I do care.
Right. You mentioned something that made me think a little bit. It isn't just when I think about feedback and I think about someone's voice being heard, these are related. And it's not just about formally soliciting feedback and having some like a suggestion box, mm-hmm. you know, with that's anonymous or not, doesn't matter. But like, there's so many instances where someone might express an opinion. Like everyone down to the front line, someone in support who is dealing with a frequent problem and writes up a saved reply or has a suggestion for how our docs could be reworded because customers are struggling with it, or a developer who is just like noticing, discrepancies in our inline documentation
right.
and so on.
Right.
They're going to initially speak up about that. And we are going to train them without intending to, but we're training them about how to do that and when to do that based on how we respond to and acknowledge it. So if we say, oh yeah, good idea, let's do it. Or go right ahead. Or I'm going to do that now. Or I'm going to do that later. And then I actually do. The employee is taught that, okay, your voice matters and you should speak up. And the next time we're in a meeting and you have this like sudden thought, like, yeah, you should chime in and say, well, what about this? Because we responded well to it and we acted on it. Or we said, no, but here's why. Let me teach you. They're still going to be taught like, oh, I should speak up, but this is useful. And this has nothing to do with like formal processes for feedback or suggestion boxes. This is just like real time relevant discussions. Mm-hmm. And if we do the opposite and someone chimes in and we say, oh, good idea. And then just let it die. We teach the employee that, you know, next time you have that idea, yeah, just keep it to yourself.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, like you said, you could go on all day on this and we're not going to, because we have a limit here.
All right. That's fine.
We can bring it back. Maybe we bring it back in a different angle, but we'll see. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. All right. Hope that helps, anonymous questioner. So question two, this is sent in by Raquel Landenfield. When you get hungry, what's your go-to snack? What are some options for your go-to snack?
Okay. Yeah. Sour Patch Kids, probably.
Oh. So, hey, as we've done in the past couple episodes, I'm going to dissect the question a little bit. You know, when you get hungry, what's your go-to snack? Mm-hmm. So I think first and foremost, are you in the house? Number one, are you outside the house? Number two, am I in North Carolina? Am I outside of North Carolina? What time of day is it, Raquel? Morning, afternoon, evening?
Yeah.
And we know for me that it's not water. So for me, my answer, my option is, it's not an option. Here's my answer, because it's a basic question. It's probably and sadly chocolate-based and or crunchy.
Oh.
I like crunch. I mean, I'll eat a carrot if I prep them, or red peppers. And, you know, it's that crunch, right? And we also crave that salt and such, you know, whatever it may be. Not from carrots, but it just, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. It's also tough being home all the time right now. That's why I put on the Corona 12.
Right. The Corona 12. Cute.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, mine's, I mean, I like, I'm, I have a, I can sniff out chocolate anywhere in this house. You buy it, you hide it, I'll find it.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah. Is there anything that like any, that the rest of the family knows? Like, oh, don't let dad see this. Or like, don't touch that because it's dad's.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought $200 worth of groceries just yesterday, and it'll last, if I'm lucky, you know, 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, they bought their own groceries.
Right. I need to get a freezer for the garage with a lock. Not just a freezer, because our freezer is packed to the hilt right now, and it's terrible.
Wow.
Side by side fridge. I need a little chest freezer, like a 5 cubic. If somebody wants to donate and sponsor, you know, the Get Options freezer. Okay. What's your go to snack? Just Sour Patch Kids?
Well, it might be my favorite candy.
Oh, that's what Avalon's is too, by the way.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. We're kindred spirits.
Yeah, you are.
You know, I don't know. I drink a lot of tea. I love hummus.
With
a lot of things dipped in pita chips or pita bread.
I made hummus last week, but it was a little too much lemon.
Was it?
Yeah. A little too much lemon juice. Yeah. It was a little.
Oh, man, I haven't made it in years.
It's easy. Chickpeas.
Yeah. I know.
Tahine.
Yeah.
Salt, pepper, and some lemon juice. Literally. Right. And they blend that crap, that stuff up, and it's like, whoa, I made hummus. I remember the first time I did it. I'm like, huh.
Yeah. I don't know. Fruit is always amazing. I wish fruit were a little bit cheaper and kept longer.
Yeah. Well, we dry some fruit lately, but then you dry the fruit, you get a lot of the sugar versus, you know, it's not satiating technically for your diet. I mean, I know all the stuff. I need to, these things are going to change for me.
Right.
Sucks.
Right. I don't know. I've got like these chocolate-covered coffee beans in like a little candy dispenser here in my office, and so I'm hitting those kind of regular.
It explains why you're so amped up all the time.
Yeah.
real quick digression. Did I ever tell you the time that Avalon wouldn't sleep when she was a baby? She was doing really well, and all of a sudden she wouldn't sleep one night. Like, she was just up and just wired. Next day, I ask Ellen, and Ellen's still nursing at the time. Ellen's like, I don't know what I ate different. And apparently she was at the mall, and she went to Starbucks, and she had all decaf stuff, you know, but she had a espresso bean brownie.
Oh. Oh, wow. That's how it works. Dang.
Yeah, kept Avalon up all night. Yeah. that's what I'm going with that story. So
crazy. Right. Oh, okay.
Interesting question, Raquel.
Hey, I don't know. I think both of us are actively trying to snack less.
Yes.
That is true. Yeah. Snacks ain't good. My snacks are lunch and dinner. That's
I'm trying. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Segment this week is the Vague Rant Up, otherwise known as Vague Rant Up.
Oh my goodness.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
I'm ready for this. Yo, here we go. This is not a rap, actually. Sorry. All right. Here's my lesson for the day. Words. They have power. Positive affirmations and self-deprecations do affect us when we utter them. This is proven. It is also proven that when we tell a story based on a memory we have, we actually modify the memory we have without even realizing we're doing it. Speaking words out loud affects you and changes you. Our reality is actually less different than fantasy tales where magicians and wizards and witches utter words and phrases which trigger spells. That is not pure fantasy. It is based on our reality in which the act of speaking real world words out loud subtly changes our reality. Now, I could make this point to lead into a lot of different suggestions. I could remind you to speak positively about yourself and others. Good thing. Huh. I could warn you about the dangers of relying too much on our own memories or eyewitness accounts. True. Yeah, important. I could caution you against uttering known falsehoods or anything hurtful, as you should. I'll keep it focused on one thing today, though.
Please.
All right. I want you to remove one specific phrase from your speech for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this is based on what I know about our listeners. It doesn't equally apply to everyone, granted, but perhaps we can all take something away from it. If this doesn't perfectly apply to you, fine. Replace it with something similar. Anyway, from this moment on, I want you to swear that you will never again speak the words, "I am not a developer."
Oh, strong.
Never again say that. Period.
Huh. Did not see that coming.
I don't need to go on, but it's me, so I will anyway.
Touche.
I used to say this. Years ago, it was me using this phrase as an excuse to not learn anything. I didn't identify as a developer back then. And actively resisted letting any developer-y knowledge entering my brain. And when anything got too technical or jargony, I'd whip out this excuse. I'd express my identity and use that to build a mental wall between me and knowledge of code. Long story short, I eventually broke that wall down after I realized that I was actively preventing myself from learning. I gave a talk about this change at a WordCamp years ago, blah, blah, blah. You can find it, but you don't need to. Let me be clear, though. I am not saying you should become a developer. That's not my point at all. The point is that we should never use our chosen identity as an excuse to block knowledge. And I do see this a lot, which is why it's a rant. That's the whole point. Reason we do any of these rants is it's something that we see over and over. We think, you know, you vague person out there should stop doing. I see it all the time. Conversations in our world take place where the second a few unfamiliar words or concepts get mentioned, someone raises up their hand, halting everything by uttering this no-no phrase. So here's what I want you to do. From this day forward, every time you have the inclination to speak this no-no phrase or anything like it, stop yourself. And instead of speaking that which you shall no longer speak, you say something like, "I'm not familiar with how that works. Can you explain it to me?"
Whoa.
End of rant.
Okay. Strong.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. That's I'm impressed. Yeah. All right, so my turn. You know, it's stay-at-home time. We're all self-quarantining, that whole shelter-in-place thing. You're around your family a lot, like all the time. So what's that mean? Well, people get a little stir-crazy, to say the least. It's also springtime. And, you know, it also means that it's spring cleaning time, going through your things, segment, good, bad, ugly, keep, sell, donate. You know, it's the selling of items that I want to focus on here. The item X has value. And you know this, even though your spouse may not agree with you at the moment, probably do because they're always around you and how you feel about things and you want to just have less clutter. I digress. So you snap some pictures of said item that you want to sell. You want to post it on a marketplace of your choice, Facebook Marketplace, Take Five, Craigslist. You pick the place, you're going to post it. And then you wait. You wait for those people. You know the kind. The first thing that they ask is not, is it still available? It's, what's the lowest price you'll take?
Oh, I hate that.
Why? Why would I lower my posted price before you make an offer? Come on, people, think about it.
That's like the rudest thing to say.
You can't blame coronavirus on this for this one, people, because this has been going on since way back in the day. And for the love of Pete, Sampras, or Rose, make an offer first. Lowball me, sure, insult me, fine, but just don't ask me to lower my price to start. Thank you.
Yeah, you touched a nerve right there.
What's the lowest price you'll take? How about the price I posted?
Yup.
Start there.
You know what? Just doubled.
Right? I have literally
for you
raised prices on certain people. Like, I will just tell somebody if they say, will you take $5? Or no, what's the lowest price you take? I'm like, I won't take yours. I've said that once or twice.
Yeah.
I always say, make an offer. That's what I
don't blame you.
That's anyway.
I think that's one of the most obnoxious things anyone can say.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah. I mean, everything is negotiable, but don't start with that.
Never. Never. So rude.
Make an offer.
So inconsiderate. So disrespectful.
Respectful. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, on that note, let's get out of here.
All right.
Dear listener, thanks for listening. Be sure to email us any questions you have at questions@getoptionspodcast.com or use the SpeakPipe function of the website. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, get_options over at, for us there. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver, SoundCloud for music. And hey, by the way, we are going to probably do a Twitch live thing in the very near future. You should check it out. Let us know if you want to jump in on that. It's going to be awesome. So say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.